Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews 5. We're continuing, of course, our study of this powerful letter, this book, of course, written to Jewish believers who had trusted Christ as Savior, and then they turned away. And what we've been seeing is the author writes for several reasons. Turn them back to Jesus Christ, wants them to go into maturity, show them Jesus superior to anything, better than anything, and to warn them. That's what the warning passages are, to warn them about God's discipline. For the past several weeks, we've been seeing the section dealing with the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It's powerful because we see His priesthood, we see it's superior to the Old Testament priesthood. He lives forever to make intercession. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. There's some great things there. We saw last week and the week before that that Jesus' priesthood is not after Levi, but after a man by the name of Melchizedek. And so we say, who is this man Melchizedek? What kind of priesthood did he have? Why is the priesthood of Jesus Christ after this guy? You know. Well, last week we touched on this, and this evening as we continue, we're going to see a problem. The author wants to give details about Melchizedek to these Jewish people that he's writing to, the Jewish believers. But he stops because the Jewish believers are unable to understand. They've not grown. They are not mature. They are immature. They are babies in Christ. And this evening, we want to stop a little bit and think about growth and maturity and understanding truths from God's Word. And we take a look at this. We're going to see Jewish believers who failed to go on to maturity. And what we want to do is we want to look at our own lives tonight. Think about ourselves. How are we doing in our growth and maturity as believers? We want to see all that. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to come together. Lord, thank you for the food and how just great amount tonight to go and get the food and get it here. And thank you, Lord, for everybody who's so understanding. And Lord, thank you that we can start and have a great service as well. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us in Jesus Christ and salvation as a gift. And we thank you for the Bible and how perfect it is. And Lord, we thank you for the book of Hebrews and what the things that we see over and over and great truth in this book. And so, Lord, we just ask you tonight that as we study this section that we'll understand it, we'll make application. Lord, our goal is to grow, to be more and more like Jesus Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, to be mature believers, to be able to take solid food and to be able to teach others. Lord, we know that that's the plan and the goal. Lord, we ask that you would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you can take the human race, all human beings, and divide them into two groups, believers and unbelievers. That's the way it is. Believers, all those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Unbelievers, those who have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. They have not trusted Him. They do not have eternal life, but they have eternal separation. When you think of an unbeliever, we find that the Scripture describes an unbeliever as the natural man. That's what it's called. In fact, if you don't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Talk about unbeliever. The Greek word there is soulish man. And so an unbeliever is described as a soulish man. You know, when you think about human beings, believers are made of body, soul, and spirit. Soul is the part that relates to the world around you. Spirit is the part of you that relates to God. Body is the thing that holds it together. Unbeliever has a body and a soul. Doesn't have the spirit. He's not born again. That's what's been made alive when you believe in Jesus Christ. So the unbeliever is called a soulish person, not able to understand the things of God. Now, the believer, on the other hand, is described in a number of ways, but I want to start with two that you've heard all the time. One is spiritual. The other is carnal. One is controlled by the Holy Spirit, that's spiritual. The other is controlled by the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, don't turn there, but it says, Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as carnal. And so the word spiritual has to do with the spirit. The word carnal actually comes from the Greek word for flesh. And so we see that Christians, every one of us in this room could be described as a spiritual person or a carnal person. Now, being spiritual means that we're simply being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Being carnal means we're controlled by the flesh. A brand new believer can be spiritual. The moment you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit and be spiritual. An old believer, one who's been a believer for many years, can be carnal. That means he's controlled by the flesh. Okay, so I just want you to get that idea of a spiritual or carnal. Now, there's another way I want you to think about people. And that is mature and immature. Now, a person can be a brand new Christian, be spiritual, but not be mature, because maturity takes time. Now, I want you to think about something. Maturity comes over a period of time as a believer grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're able to understand the deeper things of God. We'll explain that more, why I said that. We'll see it when we get into the passage. So a mature person is one who has been a believer for a period of time and has grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In fact, we're going to see a description of that in a little bit. Immaturity is when a person is a believer over time and has not grown. Now, we do not expect a brand new Christian to be mature. They can't possibly be mature. It takes time. We expect all believers to be spiritual. That means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But maturity and immaturity, the real dividing line there is time and control. A mature person is over a period of time, is controlled by the Holy Spirit, and grows to be like Christ. Immature person is one who maybe over a period of time has not grown, is still a baby, still needs basic truths. Well, as we see our passage tonight, the writer in the book of Hebrews is going to make the contrast in verses 11 through 14. That's where we are, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. We finished last week, and we just touched on verse 11. He's going to tell these Jewish people that they, and listen, that's pretty powerful. He writes to these people and tells them that they are immature babies in Christ and that they have not grown to be mature believers. Now, as we look at this passage tonight, think about our own lives. What would you say about yourself? Just think for a minute. You don't have to say anything out loud, of course. But would you say that you're a mature believer, or, as I really like to say it, a maturing believer? Because nobody gets to the point where we say, I'm completely mature. I mean, we know that the goal is that we're growing our whole lifetime to be like Jesus Christ. So the question could be, would you say that you're a mature believer, or would you say that you're an immature believer? Would you say that you have grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ and continue to go into maturity, or that you haven't grown as a believer? Whatever the answer may be, the question you might want to ask yourself is why? Why are you mature, or why are you immature? Tonight we're going to see what kind of believers these Jewish Christians were at this time. And it's a pretty powerful passage. I think there's some things here that can really encourage us. And we'll look at it. As we begin, let's get a brief review. We're in the section of the book of Hebrews where we're seeing the priesthood of Christ. It's one of my favorite things, because once we get through, now by the way, the last part of 5 and all of chapter 6, it's pretty hard stuff. We get to another warning passage. Now, it's a famous passage because this is the passage where people all the time think you're going to lose your salvation. So don't miss Hebrews chapter 6. Next 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, basically next 3 weeks, we're going to be dealing with Hebrews chapter 6. It's powerful. When we get into 7 and 8 and all that, we're going to see the priesthood of Melchizedek and Christ. We're going to go into a lot of details. We've been seeing a contrast between Christ's priesthood and the Levitical priesthood, and we've been seeing over and over that Jesus is superior to all things connected with the Old Testament economy, the priesthood, the tabernacles, the sacrifices, the covenants. We saw at the beginning of chapter 5 that there were certain qualifications for a high priest, and Jesus fit them all. We also saw a contrast between the heavenly priesthood of Jesus and the earthly priesthood of man. In fact, I had the handout for you, and you could pick it up. If you didn't get it when you came in, you get it. We gave it out the last couple of weeks. It was a comparison of the priesthood between the high priest man of an earthly priesthood and the great high priest Jesus Christ of the heavenly priesthood. And it's a tremendous contrast, because one's from the tribe of Levi and the other's from Judah. One served on the earth, one couldn't serve on the earth. One offered many sacrifices, one offered one sacrifice. One carried the blood of an animal into a man-made tabernacle. The other carried his own blood into the heavenly tabernacle. On and on and on. Number 7 says there's the Levitical priest, and then Jesus is the Melchizedek priest. So there was a comparison. So we saw that for the last couple of weeks. We saw those great truths. And the key over and over again is that the earthly priesthood was after the order of Aaron and Levi. The heavenly priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek. And how we finished last time, we got to verse 10 where it says, talking about Jesus being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, we said, who in the world is Melchizedek? Because if you look in the Bible, you won't find this man except in Genesis 14. Psalm 110, and then in the book of Hebrews, he's mentioned in chapter 5, he's mentioned one time in chapter 6, and he's mentioned a lot in chapter 7. That's all. The handout I have for you on Melchizedek is this green one, and it says he's only mentioned these 3 times. His name, Melech, means king. Zadok means righteousness. He's the king of righteousness. He was from Salem, which is the same as Jerusalem. He's really a type of Christ. Because he's a foreshadow, he's a picture of Christ. He was a king priest. Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but he's also the great high priest. This man lived in Salem. Jesus' kingdom and rulership comes from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, same one. So he's just a foreshadow of Christ. We don't know hardly anything about him. And when we get to chapter 7, we're going to get as much detail as we can find. But there's not a whole lot about him. Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews would like to tell, at this stage he's talking and he wants to say, now let's talk about Melchizedek, and then he stops. And he says, I'd like to talk to you about Melchizedek, but I have to stop for a little bit because you're not able to understand this because you're dull. And what he means is, they haven't gone on to maturity, they're not able even to understand these truths about Melchizedek. So we want to talk about that. We're going to see Melchizedek in chapter 7, but he says these Jewish believers are not mature, and in fact, they're babies. They have not grown. They're not able to understand the deeper truths concerning Jesus and Melchizedek. You may say to yourself, I don't even know what you're talking about. You should. If you don't, if when we start talking about Melchizedek, when we get to chapter 7, and we start talking about these priesthoods and these things fit together, we're getting into what is called the deeper truths from God's Word. This is where maturity comes in. As a period of time has gone by that you have grown in the grace and knowledge of Christ, when you study the deeper things of God, you can understand them. Sometimes people who have just become a Christian or they haven't matured very much, when sometimes you deal with some of these kind of truths, they're not quite able to grasp it yet. This is what he's saying about these Jewish believers. But the problem with these Jewish believers is not that they haven't had time to know them. The fact is, they turned away from God. They haven't grown. They haven't gone to the maturity. And the writer of Hebrews is actually getting on to them and saying, you guys ought to be growing as a Christians, and you're not. You ought to be able to understand this, and you can't. So let's talk about it. Let's see how this fits. There's a lot. In fact, we're going to look and see the contrast between a mature believer and an immature believer. And then let's think about where we are. Because, do we want to stand up and say, right now I am? We're going to see it. Let me break down the passage for you. All we're going to do is the key is going to be, he says, it's going to be hard to teach about Melchizedek. Why? Because they've dull. They should be mature in teaching others, but they have to be taught. There's a contrast between milk and solid food. There's a contrast between being mature and immature. And we'll see all that fits together. Now, let's begin by, he lets them know that he would like to teach them about Melchizedek, but he's not able. Look at verse 11. Concerning him, concerning Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now, he says, I'd like to talk about Melchizedek. We have a lot of things to say about that man, and we need to know and understand it. We need to see his priesthood. We need to see how it fits. It is vital to every one of us in this room that we gain an understanding about this man being mentioned only in Genesis 14, only in Psalm 110, and only in the book of Hebrews 5, 6, and 7. There are great truths about Melchizedek that the Bible gives us so that we can understand how it fits. The truths about Melchizedek, as I mentioned a while ago, are deeper truths in the Word of God. There are some things from God's Word that are harder to understand than others. Sometimes people think that either the Bible's all hard to understand or it's supposed to be easy and there shouldn't be any hard things. Let me tell you, there are some things in the Bible that are so simple and easy that we pick it up just like that. There are some truths in God's Word that take the concept of being able to put this whole thing together. Let me ask you something. Think about end time events. If I said to you, where do we go to get end time events? You wouldn't say Book of Revelation. There are some things in the Book of Revelation, but you'd have to say Ezekiel, Daniel, Matthew 24, 25, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Peter. You'd have to go to all those places to be able to put together the end time events. And we hadn't even talked about Zechariah or Zephaniah or any of those books. So when somebody says end time events, those are some of the deeper things of God. They're not hard to understand. It's deeper to be able to put together and figure out how all this fits. So when he writes to these people, he says, concerning him, concerning Melchizedek, we have much to say. There's so many things, but it's some deeper things. Realize this, when a believer is growing, they're able to grasp deeper and deeper truths from God's Word. I'm not saying there are anything like mysteries. There's not that. The Bible's not some kind of puzzle you can't figure out. It's not some secret society as some people have taught throughout history. All I'm saying is as you continue to grow as a believer, you will be able to get more and more understanding of the deeper and deeper truths of God's Word. Second, if you're not growing, you will not understand. And he says to these people, concerning him, we have a lot to say. Notice, but it's hard to explain. Why? Since you have become dull of hearing. The word dull is a unique word in the Greek. It has an idea of lazy. It doesn't mean like a person not doing anything, but it's the idea that they're not able to understand the deeper truths. Now, they had trusted in Christ, but they had stopped growing. They had turned away. He's going to explain the problem. The problem is this, and you've heard people use this term. They get this from the book of Hebrews. You've heard people saying, now, you need to go past the milk of God's word to the meat of God's word. Anybody ever heard that? Talking about the meat of God's word and the milk of... He's going to use this analogy that milk is for babies and meat is for mature. And he's going to tell them that you people need milk because you're still babies, because you haven't grown. He said, but what you should be doing is you should be eating meat and you should be mature. And so the truth for all of us, now we all start with the milk of the basic truths, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But what we ought to do as we continue to grow is to progress where we're eating, taking in the meat of God's word as well. So watch what he says. He gets on them pretty good in this passage because he talks about them. Look at verse 11 again. He says, concerning them we have a lot to say, but it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, that one verse has a whole bunch in it. Notice how he starts off, though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, he said, and his implication to these people is, you have been believers long enough that you should have grown by now and actually be able to teach other people. See, I've talked to Christians who've been Christians for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and they think, oh, I'm not ready. Listen, it doesn't take that long to get to the point where you're understanding some basic truths of God's word and that you can pass these truths on to other people. So he starts off by saying, by this time, you ought to be teachers. They should have been growing. Now, let me tell you something. There are some people who take the book of Hebrews, and when you get to this part in chapter 5 and the first part of chapter 6, they say that he's writing to unbelievers. Let me ask you a question. Do you think he would say to unbelievers that they ought to be teaching God's word? No, he's writing to believers. And he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Now, as believers grow, we are to be able to teach other people. One of the famous passages in the Bible is 2 Timothy 2:2. Take the things that you've been taught and trust these the faithful people who will be able to teach others. The Bible says you get taught God's word and then you turn around and you teach other people. We've got this concept that all of us are to share our faith, but only a few people teach. We're not talking about gift of teaching. We're talking about communicating God's truth. He says to these Jewish Christians, by this time, you should be teaching other people. How many of us in this room, by this time in our Christian lives, we ought to be teaching other people? And I'm not saying, oh, no, I don't want to stand up like and do a Sunday school. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting in small groups and you help communicate and teach truth to other believers. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you should be growing in the grace and knowledge of your Savior, and you should be to the point where you're able to take the truths and principles that you're understanding and pass those on. He says to them, he says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Notice the contrast. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Now, the word elementary principles, I've seen some translations even say somebody needs to teach you the ABCs of God's word again. We're talking about the basic foundational truths from God's word. He says you ought to be teaching others, but now somebody needs to teach you the basic truths. They needed to start over. A man by the name of Hewitt said this. He says, if we don't grow, the dark things don't become plain, and the plain things become dark. It's true. I trusted Christ. I told some of the guys this morning in my Wednesday morning group. I trusted Christ when I was 19. And after I trusted Christ, I got so excited. I was in college. It was February 13th. And I was so excited that somebody said, you know, here's a Bible. And Knapp gave me a Bible. I never had a Bible. The Bible that Knapp gave me is on my desk. And I just started reading. I started in Genesis. And I read through Genesis. That was good stuff. I got into Exodus. Kind of got bogged down. Got into Leviticus and decided maybe I better go to that New Testament part because that thing flowed you down there. But, you know, I was just eating this stuff up. And for about 2 to 3 to 4 months until school was out, I was rolling. You could say, What's this? I said, well, I'm learning. And then I went home for the summer. And my mother and daddy never went to church. I even got to go to church one time. And then after that, you know, we didn't go the rest of the summer. And when I came back in the fall, I worked with football and track and everything. And before you know it, everything got so tied up. And for the next year, I just hardly, you know, I just sort of got out of the habit of growing and studying. I didn't hardly go to church. And, Knapp moved away. And all of a sudden, another year passed and another year. And then I started coaching at Mississippi State. And another year passed and another year passed. And after I'd been a Christian 7 or 8 years, God used some circumstances to get me where I turned back to the Lord and started to grow again because I wasn't growing as a Christian. And then when I started to grow again, guess what? I had to go back and learn all of the basics all over again. I'd forgotten everything that they had taught me those first 4, 5, 6 months of a Christian. I didn't even have a clear gospel. Don't tell anybody that. I didn't have a clear gospel at that time. Not a clear one. Not like we have now. And I didn't understand the scripture and all these basic truths. Look what he says about them. By this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again, notice, for somebody to teach you the basic principles of the Word of God. See, they already been taught them because he says you have need again to be taught this. They've already forgotten. That's why at Countryside we think it is vital that every believer gets into a 412. Now, a lot of people say, well, I never had a 412. You should. Because a 412 is going to give you the basic vital truths that you must master, that you must know. You must know about the gospel and how to present the gospel and assurance. You must know how to get into the scripture for yourself. You must understand the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. You must know all of those things and those principles and Bible study methods and quiet times. You ought to have that as foundational truths. Because from that foundation of those basic elementary principles, you then go on to growth and then you turn around and you teach these other people these basic truths. You have to do that. And that's why I think the church as a whole has failed, because historically the church believes its role is evangelism. And this role is to do what? Make disciples, which is evangelism and training. And most believers haven't ever been trained. And that's why at our church we say, if you've not had a 412, find one. Call me. We're going to get you in one because you need to do that. 412 gives us great truths. Now, the point is, he says, you should be teaching others, but somebody needs to teach you. They're not maturing. They're not growing. They were immature. They were babies. Notice what he says at the end of the verse. You have come to need milk, not solid food. You know, when those little babies are born, what do they drink? They, you know, we don't say, you want some steak? They can't eat steak. They're not ready for it. He says, you guys have been believers long enough that you ought to be teaching people, but you know what? You need the basic stuff. You need the milk of the Word of God. The milk. Solid food, not solid foods, is the deeper truths. It's the meat from God's Word. Now, before we go on, let me ask you this question. Where are you? What would you say, if you looked at this, would you say that you need milk or that you need meat? Are you still a baby Christian? Or are you a maturing Christian? It has nothing to do with how long you've been a Christian. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian if you're a fairly new Christian. There's wrong to be a baby Christian if you've been a Christian for a long time. It's pretty powerful. Are we taking in solid food and mature? Are we able to grow and to teach each other? Or are we not growing? Do we need the milk? Do we need the basics? See, wherever you are, begin right now and think, I want to start moving toward maturity. If you need to take a 412, get a 412. If you pass that and you've got those foundational things, then what you do is say, okay, I want to get in that 2-2. I want to get in the CBI. I want to come in there and I want to get as many of those classes as I can get on Tuesday nights over the next 2 to 3 years. And I want to make sure I get that 2-2 because I want to have the theological basic truths from God's Word that go deeper than just the foundation 412. I want to get this stuff so that I can continue to help people grow. Because he says, by this time, as believers, as we mature, we got to be teaching others. And so he says, you need somebody to teach you the elementary principles of God's Word. You've come to need milk, not solid food. What a contrast we're going to see between mature and immature, between solid food and milk, between being trained and being a baby. Look, he goes on to explain. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a, what does it say? Infant, a baby. Now he says everybody who takes only of the milk, and when the people go to the milk and ask the basic things, he says the people who need the milk, they're not accustomed to the word of righteousness. We call it the righteous word of God. They're not knowing and applying and digging it and all that. He says, for they're babies. They're immature. Now, that's sort of embarrassing to be called a baby. If you are a baby, there's nothing wrong with being called a baby. But if you're growing up, it's embarrassing to be called a baby. I mean, when we see somebody little bitty in diapers, we say that's what they're supposed to be. But when you see somebody big in diapers, we go, that's embarrassing. Well, in reality, he's saying, listen, the people who need the milk are just the babies. And he's actually getting on these Jewish believers who have turned away from God, has put themselves back under the law, and he's saying, you know what? You guys ought to be teaching others by now, and yet somebody's got to teach you the elementary principles. You can't eat the meat of God's word. You got to go back to the milk because you're just a baby. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, but it's true. It's what he's saying. Here's the contrast. But everyone who partakes, but solid food is for the mature. Now, solid food, I think he's talking about, we'd call it the meat, the deeper truths of God's Word. He says, is for the mature. The word mature there literally means the full age. We'd call him the one growing into Christ-likeness. The contrast between being an infant and being mature. Now, how does that person become mature? Notice what he says. The solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, the word practice really is application. You know what he's saying? They've taken, as the years have gone by, as the weeks, months, and years have gone by, they have practiced the truths of God's Word. They have taken these truths and they've made application in their lives. We've said over and over that the goal of Bible study is what? Knowledge? Application. You have to know it to apply it. You study it so you can know it so you can apply it. And he says, now how does maturity come? It comes because of practice, because of application. They have their senses trained. They have themselves trained, you might say, to discern good and evil. They are trained to be able to see right and wrong and understand the Scripture and be able to put it together. You know what the word trained? The word trained is the word gymnos, which we get gymnasium from. It's a Greek word that means the place of training. He says they have been trained in the Word of God. They've trained to discern. Discern means to be able to look at something and tell. The mature person has discernment. A mature person is a person living by the Scripture and able to discern the whole idea of rights and wrongs. Let me tell you this. One way you can know if you are a maturing believer is that when you hear things, you are able to discern whether this is right or wrong. That when you see truth, or if somebody says, you know, in order to be saved, you need to repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus, and be baptized, and immediately you go, no, that's not right. Or when somebody says, there is no kingdom, there will never be a kingdom, Jesus will never sit on the throne, you say, no, I know what the Scripture says. A mature person is one who is able to discern right from wrong. You remember in the Ephesians passage, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we talked about we equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ till we all come to unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, mature man, as we're no longer to be children tossed back and forth by every what? Wind of doctrine? I know a Christian that will hear me say you're saved simply by faith in Christ and go, that's right. And then hear somebody else say, if you don't give your life to Jesus and serve Him, you're not saved. And they'll go, that sounds right too. They're not discerning. They're not mature because those are two different messages. They can't both be right. And so he says, solid food's for the mature, the one who involves a practice because they made application, have their senses trained to be able to discern, to see the right and the wrong. Think of your life right now. Would you say that you are a maturing believer? that you're able to understand truth, that you want the deeper things. You're able to teach others. You're able to discern what's right, and you're growing in that way. Or would you say, you know, JB, I'm really not very mature because I don't really study the Bible. I've not really ever studied the Bible very much. I probably need the basics all over again because whether I ever had them or not, I just don't know if I got them. And I don't understand some of those things anyway. And I'm not able to discern yet the rights and the wrongs. Think of your life. He's actually getting on these Jewish believers. That's why, look how he starts chapter 6. Therefore, summary. Now that we talked about this, therefore, let's leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Let's do what? Let's press on to maturity. That's the application for all of us. Wherever we are, whether you're a maturing believer or an infant believer, he says, let's press on to maturity. Let me talk about what we've seen, and I'm going to put the applications up, and then we'll open it up for any questions. But by this time, these believers had become dull of hearing. By this time, they should be teaching others, but they need to be taught. They needed the milk of God's Word, the basics, not the solid food. Milk is for infants. Solid food's for mature. Mature person is one who's able to discern the right from wrong. So let me give you applications. The first application is this. Where are you in your spiritual growth? Let's look at it this way. Are you maturing? Can you discern the right from the wrong? When you turn on the radio and you hear somebody, or you see on television, or you go somewhere, or you pick up a magazine, or you pick up a book, and it's a theological, and you read something, are you able to say, no, wait a minute, where did they get this? This girl came to see me the other day, actually yesterday. She's brilliant. Let me just tell you, she's a college girl, and she's reading a book by somebody that I would tell you, don't read the book. She was reading it because we're talking about it. She said, I want to see where this guy is wrong. And I said, okay. And so she comes in and says, look at chapter 2, and we'll look at it together because I've read the book. A lot of you read the book. I'm just not going to talk about it right now. And what's so amazing is she said, JB, I'm reading what he says. He's quoting Scripture. I go to Scripture, and I find out that what he says is not over here in the Scripture. This doesn't match. I said, you're exactly right. She's discerning. She can look at that and say, now this guy is nationally world famous, and yet his message doesn't match the Scripture. And she's able to see that. Are we able to study the deeper things of God's Word? Are we taking in the meat? Let me tell you, Romans is pretty meaty, wouldn't you say? I mean, the book, what we're studying on Sunday morning is a pretty deep book. And when we start talking about justification and imputation and propitiation and all those words, and that's why I had to put them up on a chart up there and try to explain them as simple as possible, because there are some people that come to church on Sunday morning, first of all, that have never trusted Christ. Then there's some who come and they've been Christians for a short period of time. There's some who've been Christians for a long period of time, but they're not mature. And then there are those who are mature. And so some of those truths in Romans are difficult. Romans is a deep book. It's a theological book. That's why toward the end of Romans, he says, I have written to you boldly on certain points. He said, the things we talked about in the book of Romans, pretty tough stuff. Okay? So are we taking in the meat? Are we teaching others? Are we accustomed to the word of righteousness? But the second aspect of that, are you immature? Still a baby. Need the milk. Need the basics. Need to be taught. Dull of hearing. Not able to do the deeper things. Evaluate your spiritual growth. That takes us to number two, and that is, let's go to maturity. Let's go on to maturity. Think about it. What are the basics? Well, the basics are the salvation message and the security that we understand and the basic Bible study methods and an overview of the Bible. But what are the deep things? The deep things start getting into the theology about God and man and his character and salvation and all those terms and truths that are found throughout the Scripture that you have to take and put the whole Bible together to understand some things. So let's go into maturity. Let's know it. Let's apply it. Let's pass it on. Let's study the Word of God so we can make application. And if you've never been, let me just challenge you. If you've never been through the 412, I know next fall we're going to probably have at least a 412 this summer. In the fall, I'm teaching a 412 on Wednesday mornings this fall, but there'll be two different 412s going on at CBI. If you've never had that, and there'll be, I know that the ladies have some 412s, Bible studies themselves. We're going to have, if you've never been in a 412, which is the foundational truths that you must master so that you can go into maturity, you ought to take it. If you've had that 412, if you've had the Bible studies, consider possibly the 2-2. The 2-2 is much deeper. The 2-2 is the most fun thing I've ever taught. I love it. People say, don't you get tired of teaching the same thing? No, I love it. I love it. It's great stuff. Think about CBI. If you've had that, say, okay, what other classes are being taught where I can continue to grow and learn and put together truths from God's Word? Know what you believe and why you believe it, so you won't be tossed back and forth, but you'll be a discerning believer. Let's go into maturity. And then finally, here's the third thing. Let's help others grow. That's the plan. Teach them. Give them foundational truths. Help them go into maturity. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, let's leave these elementary principles. Let's press on to maturity. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to encourage these people and teach them because they've turned away from the truth and they're baby Christians and he wants them to go into maturity. They ought to be teaching by now and they're not. And there's some of you in this room ought to be teaching. You ought to be teachers. You ought to be getting people in small groups and helping them understand the Scripture. So let's grow. Let's go into maturity. Let's help others grow. May we grow as believers, knowing and applying the truths from God's Word, being mature men and women. And let me say it this way, being maturing men and women, because we don't ever reach that the mature level. We're in the process of being mature. And let's help others to grow also into maturing believers. Let's pray and we'll open up for any questions or comments. Heavenly Father, thanks for this passage. Lord, when you think about the book of Hebrews and all the things that are there, Lord, first of all, we realize that these believers had sort of become dull of hearing because they just hadn't grown and they had turned away from the truth and they were baby Christians and they ought to have been teachers and yet they needed somebody to teach them all over again and they couldn't handle solid, deep things from your word, but they needed the baby things. Lord, we want to grow. We want to look at our lives and evaluate where we are and we want to grow and mature. And Lord, we know that it's important that we understand the Scripture and make application. So Lord, I just pray for all of us that we'll grow and mature and then we'll help others. We'll continue to grow in the grace and knowledge. We'll take the things that we have been taught and entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Lord, that's our goal. Not only to be spiritual, but to be mature. May we do that, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.